Boy, good morning. Praise the Lord. Good to be saved. Good to be in the house of God. It's January the 10th, Sunday morning. We've had a lot of events take place this week that I certainly would have to say that I'm in disagreement with some of it. I understand the need. I understand you got to do something, but I think we've done nothing for so long, I'm not sure there's anything that we can do. Our country's in a mess. What made this country great no longer exists in any degree. But we were heading in that direction, and I will admit that. And I don't know how it's going to be in the upcoming year. Some things I'm concerned about. Some things I'm praying about. I'd encourage you to be concerned and pray about it too. Amen. This Sunday school lesson this morning is more likely more important than the preaching message today. And I encourage you to pay attention to the Word of God. One thing about the Word of God, it's always relevant. It's never outdated. It's never stale. It's always fresh. I just started reading my Bible through again this year. And even though I'm reading passages that I've read many times, how it spoke to me this year, oh, it was very rewarding. I'm in Genesis chapter 32 right now. Now I have to admit, some of the things that I read, I needed to read. Some of the things I read, I need to be reminded of. Jesus told us, if we be His disciples, He said, continue in My Word, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And I want you to know, you need to stay in the Word of God. And you need to pray over it. And you need to stay with it. Continue to read it. Amen. One of the last famines mentioned in the Bible is a famine of hearing the Word of God. And I don't want us to get there, but the Bible tells us we are going there. So I'll tell you, stay in your Bible. Amen. We finished up last Sunday of Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. We'll be starting this morning, verse 18. I want to go to God in prayer. Father, we thank You for the privilege to stand for the Word of God. Lord, in this January the 10th, 2021, Lord's Day, we just ask Your blessings upon our efforts. Lord, we want to be, Lord, blessed. We want to be used. We want to be profitable. We want to be, Lord, a jewel for Your crown, an ornament of praise for Your name. We want to be found faithful when You come. We want to be found working. And I pray You'll help us even this morning, Father. Help us to break the bread of the man of the Word of God. Lord, to give unto Your children, to give unto those, Lord, that may not even realize how much they need it. I pray they'll benefit today from this Sunday school lesson. And in Jesus' name we'll ask it. Amen. Amen. Verse 18, the Lord is addressing seven churches. Revelation, a very unique book. We're trying to proceed with caution because a lot of things are mentioned in Revelations. You have seven churches. You have seven seals. You have seven vials. You have seven dooms. You have 7 years of judgment. And there's so much in the book of Revelation. And that's why I say we're trying to take our time and proceed with caution. Verse 18, the Lord doing the speaking, He says, unto the angel of the church in Thyatira, write these things, saith the Son of God, who hath His eyes like unto a flame of fire, and His feet are like fine brass. Those eyes is an indicator of just how mad Jesus is. John heard a voice behind him in Revelation chapter 1, and when he turned, verse 12, to see the voice that spake, he noticed, verse 14 tells us, he noticed that the Lord's eyes were as a flame of fire. John had never seen that before. He had only seen dove's eyes. He'd only seen eyes of love. And I want you to know, when he saw him, verse 17 says, he fell at his feet as dead. Jesus here, talking to the church at Thyatira, he says, I am the Lord God. And he said, he said, these things saith the Son of God, who hath eyes like unto a flame of fire. He is coming back, and boy, is he mad. In Revelation chapter number 6, we get another indication here, and you got a bunch of men here, at verse number 15, Revelation chapter 6, and it says, and the kings of the earth, that reminds me of some of these so-called hierarchy that are taking too much on themselves. They're abusing power and usurping authority. And really they're doing things they should be careful about doing. They don't have any care. They're not careful. They don't have no fear of God. And he said, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bond man, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. I want you to know, when Jesus comes back, boys, he's going to be mad. Amen. Verse 17 says, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? I'm glad, praise God, that I'm on the Lord's side. Hallelujah. In Revelation chapter 19, here Jesus is. He's sitting upon a white horse. And he that sat upon him is called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doeth judge and make war. Notice this. His eyes were as a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He's clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Amen. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them. Oh, he's mad. He's going to rule with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want you to know, buddy, he's mad. His eyes are likened to a flame of fire. I've seen people get mad before. I've been mad before myself. I remember having a little scuffle with a guy at work. And his comments about that situation was, he said, I've seen fire in his eye. And I did. I'm not going to make no apologies about it. I did have fire in my eye. I was mad. But you know what? We made peace about it. You know, it's just an accident. He accidentally hit me with a belt. And when he did, I mean, the whatever you want to call it, the disposition of peace left, and I was ready to fight. Even though he's bigger than me, I was still ready to fight. But the Lord here, he's mad. And he's giving a warning here. And he says, verse 19, talking to this church, he said, I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. In other words, they're working. They've got patience. They've got charity. They're trying to do right. And I believe we ought to all strive to do right. And you know what? If you don't do right, sometimes you get caught doing wrong. And then you got to try to lie. Try to figure out a way to explain what you did. Best thing to do is just do right. Be done with it. Amen. The Lord's giving His church some advice here. And He says, He's passing out of rules. He said, you're doing all right. But verse 20, He says, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. Now, a lot of churches are doing right today. And I'm glad they are. But there's more than just doing right. You got to be on guard. You got to be on guard for the leaven. You got to be on guard for the lies. I preached last Sunday about Adam. His charge was to keep the garden, and he lost it, amen. And our charge is to keep the things of God. And you know what? A lot of them have let them slip. Once they let them slip, it's hard to get them back. Amen. And the Lord here, in a nice way, He says, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. He starts naming them here. Because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess. I'll stop right there just a minute. You know who brought Adam down? Eve. How did Eve bring Adam down? She was beguiled by the serpent. All he changed was one word. God said, all the trees of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but he said, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. Now, that little serpent came up to Eve and said, you shall not surely die. Just change one word. He put not in there. Teenagers nowadays, they'll say something, they'll say not. Always mind me of that serpent and how he uses words. And the Bible said she saw that tree to be desired to make one wise, and she took and eat of it and gave to her husband. He didn't eat, and the eyes of them both were open and they knew his neck. And I just want you to know, they made a mistake. Amen. And the Bible tells us that Adam was not deceived in the transgression, but he still was affected by it. Even though his motive was he didn't want to live without his wife, she was the very one that brought him down. Well, this church here has a woman. She's called Jezebel. She calls herself a prophetess to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Now, churches are to do the things that the Lord established the church to do. You're supposed to make disciples. You're supposed to teach and preach and pray. And listen, when it gets out of bounds, you look to see what the problem is. This church here had a problem. I guess they thought nobody knew about it, but the Lord put a finger on it, and the Lord said, I got a few things against you, you church in Thyatira. He said, you got a woman named Jezebel. She either needs to clean up, straighten up, or get out. You don't need no Jezebels in the church. I don't mind having one come in that needs to be saved. I ain't got a problem with that. God saves Jezebel. I'll bring it out here in just a minute. But when a Jezebel thinks she can come in and make place in the church and pretend to be something she's not, it'll have a ripple effect. And the Lord commented on that. He said it caused His children to commit fornication. I ain't really got time to go here. But Paul addressed the church of Corinth, and he talked about joining Christ with a adulteress. Well, I might as well go there. Shall I take the members of Christ and join them with a harlot? I believe is the way it's worded. Paul talking to the church of Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He says, verse 15, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? God forbid. Now, he's talking to a good church. It's just messed up. It's a worldly church. They've let the guard down. So he goes on a little bit further in verse 16. He says, what? Know ye not? And that's the problem. Most people don't know what they need to know. And those that do know need to not be silent, but they need to do like old Brother Eddie. lift up your voice like a trumpet, cry loud, spare not. God said, tell my people their sins. Well, Paul here talking to his church in Corinthians, he says in Corinth, know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, says he, shall be one flesh. And he says, verse 18, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sin against his own body. You better be careful about that sinning against your own body. Just buried my daughter last year. She died October the 23rd. I read her death certificate, and it said on her death certificate, abuse of tobacco. You abuse your body, you ain't gonna be around long. Just tell you right now, hey, listen, not only am I alive, but I gotta have somewhere to live. I wanna eat, or I'm gonna perish. I gotta have something to drink, or I'm gonna perish. But I want you to know there's some things I don't need to do, because if I do them, no matter what I eat or drink, I'm gonna perish, because it's gonna take a toll. And the next thing you know, old Brother Eddie ain't gonna make it, amen.
Amen.
This church here, Lord in a loving way, he said, you're doing good. He said, however, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because you're allowing this woman, Jezebel. She calls herself a prophetess. You know, you need to check some of these people out. A lot of churches haven't. In 1 John chapter 4, which we're going to be preaching from today, their very first verse, beloved, talking about children of God, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they're of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. That's 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Evidently, they didn't ask any questions. They didn't check anything out. And somehow or another, this woman, Jezebel, she's in the church, calls herself a prophetess, and the next thing you know, she's bearing fruit. She's seducing the servants of God. They're committing fornication. They're eating things sacrificed to idols. And God's against every bit of that. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I said God cares about women like Jezebel. I don't have any problem at all. Bring them in here. Set them on the front row. I don't care if they're LGBTQ. I don't care if they're atheists. I don't care what they are. Bring them in here. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to love them. I'm going to preach the Word of God to them. I'm going to tell them Jesus died for them. I'm going to tell them He made a place called heaven for them. They can reject that, or they can receive that. I can't make them get saved, but I can tell them they can be saved. This woman, Jezebel, the Bible says God gave her space to repent. How much, Brother Eddie? I don't know. I remember one preacher preaching that verse, said, run out, call it out of space. He said, I'm preaching on being out of space today. And God says, verse 21, and I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Maybe I hurt my arm, can't pull it out very far. Maybe she had this much space. Maybe she had miles of space. I don't know. I just know this. God said she repented not. He gave her opportunity. She spurned it. He gave her space. She didn't yield. And then, I want you to know, buddy, her ending is eternal. And it's not in heaven. I want you to know God loved her. God died for her. Gave her space to repent, and she repented not. Verse 22. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her, in the great tribulation. Everybody says, why is God doing this to me? If God loves me, why is this happening to me? Well, read your Bible. God's not mocked. What you sow, you reap. An incident happened to me this week. I'm saved, 100% saved. And I know I'm saved. But I'm out walking, and I've got a hammer in my hand. And a fall. I've got a bucket of flint in this hand. And as I fall, I can't catch myself, so I throw my shoulder out. And that hammer hit me right there. And I had a goose egg that big around. I'm probably going to have a bruise there before long. But that hammer hit me right there. And I mean, hit me hard right there. I couldn't even wash my hair. I ain't got no hair anyway. You know what the first thing I thought? Lord, why did you allow that to happen to me? Then I got to thinking more biblically. And I got to thinking about the Word of God that says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. There it is, that hammer shop. It's a bricklaying hammer. It's got a blade on one end, and it's got a blunt on the other end. Thank God he allowed me to hit it on the blunt end, and if he hadn't, I'd have hit it on the sharp end, and I'd have come there either with a hammer stuck in my head, or a hole in my head, or I'd have been dead. I don't know everything there is to know, but I do know one thing, I received instruction. I realize I need to be careful. I may not look like I'm 67, but next month I will. Next month I'll be 67. Oh, we're ready to get older, amen. The youth is gone. Hey, the strength is gone. But I'll tell you right now, when I fell on that hammer and it put that big old goose egg right there on my head right there, I'm glad I had that toboggan on, and I'm glad I had it folded double right there where that hammer hit. And I'm glad that sharp end went in the ground. I might have drove that hammer in the ground. That's a whole lot better than eating that sharp end. Amen. Well, God here is a good judge. He's a good God, faithful judge. And Abraham said, shall not the God, the judge of all the earth, do right? He will. He always does right. And he says, because she didn't repent, he said, behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her in the great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. So he gives her another warning here. He said, I'm fixing to act upon her wickedness. I'm fixing to bring what she deserves upon her, except they repent of their deeds. Now the next verse is pretty severe. And I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. You know, works are good. Matter of fact, we've been created unto good works. Jezebel, she didn't have no good works. Her works were evil. God gave her space to repent. Went on to say she repented not. He gave her a gracious warning. And you know what? She still didn't repent. But I want you to know that verse 23. And I will kill her children with death. David committed adultery with the wife of Uriah, the Hittite, with Bathsheba, and he tried his best to cover up his sin, but God saw it. And when it all said and done, what I'm trying to say is, that little baby that was born to Bathsheba, because of what David did, the Lord smote it, and it was sick, and it was dying, and God had David's attention, and David wept, and prayed and fasted to the Lord till the child died. Then he got up, shaved, washed, and went to eat. And they said, we don't understand this. Why are you cleaning up, shaving, getting ready to eat? He said, I thought I might be able to persuade God, I'm paraphrasing here, to allow the child to live. But there's nothing I can do now that the child is dead. But I want you to know God spoke through that little child to David and got his attention. God here says, I will kill her children with death. I've come up on a car wreck before, and I might have been driving fast before. But after I come up on that car wreck, I'll tell you right now, I slowed down. Why is that, Brother Eddie? I saw the carnage. I was made to remind myself of the consequences of driving like a fool, which I was. And, you know, driving like a fool is okay to meet somebody else driving like a fool, and it don't work. I topped the hill one night going way too fast. I met somebody on the other side going way too fast. The problem is it's a country road, and we're both in the middle, and how we kept hitting each other. To this day, I don't know. I mean, we look like slot cars. But anyway, somehow or another, it didn't knock the chrome off the side of the truck, and somehow or another, we made it past each other, but I want you to know we scraped the headlights in that encounter. The death, it speaks in such a way you can't deny it. God here talking, warning this wicked woman Jezebel. He says, and I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. You live wickedly. You know, we're supposed to walk worthy of the Lord. We're supposed to walk before Him in the beauty of holiness. I know a lot of people don't do it. I'm not God, but I know what the Word of God says. And it says in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 1, he that being often reproved, you know, God, I've been reproved by the Lord before. Matter of fact, I think maybe I got reproved when I fell on that hammer. But anyway, he that being often reproved, which means the Lord done it more than once, matter of fact, He's done it a bunch of times, and hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. I want you to know God is God. He does the work of God. He knows how to get His point across. And when someone pays for something they've done, they're without excuse. And I hope you understand what I'm saying here. They don't go to hell, but they go to heaven a whole lot earlier than they would have went if they had lived righteous, godly, and sober in this present world. Why don't they go to hell, Brother Eddie? Because of Christ. No, if it wasn't for Christ, I'd be on my way to hell. You see, He's the justifier. He justified me. I deserved hell. I was on my way to hell. I still deserve hell. But I'm not on my way to hell. Because I've been justified. I've been redeemed. The Bible mentions in Romans chapter 3 that God might be just, and He is just. He's always going to do right. I might not, but He's going to. That God might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Now I've got someone down here that accuses me before God night and day, and he don't have no problem at all having something to accuse me of, because in my best state, I'm vanity. I just don't have anything to offer God but heartache and disappointment. It ain't like I've got a halo. I've got more horns than I've got a halo. And you know what? I thank God that I have been justified by the sacrifice of God's Son Jesus, and that one day He's going to present me without spot, blameless in His presence with exceeding joy. And even though the world don't understand that, that was the joy that was set before Him, that He was willing to suffer for me. That He might one day curl and say, it was worth it.
Amen.
Wasn't much there. I got a long way to go, Brother Eddie. Got, you know, he's the one who makes crooked straight. I might have been crooked as a dog's leg, but He's still working on me. He's going to continue that work according to Philippians chapter 1 until the day He comes for me. And every day I need overhaul, Sharon. Every day I need to be reminded whose I am, where I'm going, all of that. I need that every day. And you know, ain't nothing better than getting a good blessing every now and then, just to let you know, praise God, you've done something right. And Jezebel, she wanted nothing to do with none of that. I don't know why she's in the church other than to cause problems, and there are a lot of problems in a lot of churches, and leadership ain't fun. I saw my pastor exercise leadership. I've seen him call people down. I've seen him tell people to leave. I went and asked him about it because I didn't know no better. He said, "Brother Eddie, for the sake of the church, as regretful as I am about doing it," he said, "I have no choice." He said, "If I don't, then it's going to mingle in with the church and get worse." The Bible talks about mark them that cause divisions. And, you know, these were troublemakers. One of them, I remember, it was on a Wednesday night. And his name was Robert. I'll say that much about him. And he was trying to speak wrong about his parents. And my pastor, he knew the whole story. I didn't know. But he said, "Robert, right now is not the time." Robert kept on. And my pastor said, "Robert, this is not the time. This is not the place." Robert kept on. Rick said, "The door, buddy." And Robert said a few words, went out the door. And Robert was fairly young. He was probably in his 20s. I might not have understood it then, but I do understand it now. Leadership, you can't allow that to go on. I'd much rather do it in privacy, you know, like meet me in the back Sunday school room or in the office, whatever. I'd much rather do it like that. Rick didn't have no choice. You got, right now, you got 200 people running there at Bethel Baptist Church. But you got, like, you know, even at that time, probably had 80, maybe close to 100. If you don't take leadership actions, then all of them will be affected by it. This church didn't take no leadership action concerning this woman, Jezebel. And the Lord here, if they won't, He will. He's exercising leadership. He says, "I got a few things against you, against the church, because they allow this woman, Jezebel, that calls herself a prophet. She's causing all kinds of problems, and she's causing them to commit sin, and they're sacrificing unto idols. They're committing sacrilege, and God said, I gave her space to repent, and she repented not. I want you to know He's just in everything He does. And if old Brother Eddie won't do something, then God will." Been a whole lot better. Whoever's over this church had a conversation with Jezebel and say, "You know, we don't allow that here. And you know, you're welcome here, but you ain't gonna do that here. I mean, you gotta have some kind of ultimatum. There gotta be some leadership." So the Lord here, in extreme leadership, He takes action, and He says in verse 23, "I'll kill her children with death." Why? Read it right there in verse 23. "And all the churches shall know that I am He which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works." She had bad works. She shouldn't have brought her works in the church.
Right.
She didn't fear God. She didn't regard the church or man, nothing else. She was a servant authority. Me and Brother Jason was talking before y'all got here about a servant authority. And what that means is to take authority illegally. To take it out of process, due process. And you know, kind of like what they're doing right now with this pandemic. I heard through the grapevine, there's a great effort being made right now to remove Andy Beshear from office.
Yes.
Because he's become to be like a dictator instead of a governor. And some of the things that he's condoning is not legal. And nobody can stop him. So they've got a petition. I think over a million people have signed it. And listen, it ain't going away. And they want him removed from office. Well, that's kind of what I'm talking about.
Right.
Now I'm glad God's on the throne. I'm glad God's above Democrats, Republicans, conservatives, liberals, left wing, right wing. I mean, God's over all. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I don't always agree with what men do down here, and especially I didn't agree with what took place Wednesday this week.
Lord, I didn't
right.
But you know what? The Lord said, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord.
Right.
Now, if I took matters in my hands about this, I'd be in jail.
Right.
And I'm sad that a lot of good patriots that love this country
right.
are going to be punished really by the efforts of others.
Amen.
A lot of people don't know this. I know this won't go. It's still a lead balloon. But what you don't know is Wednesday morning, January the 6th, at 9 o'clock, Wednesday morning, for Antifa, well, let me say it right, four black government buses
right.
full of Antifa showed up at the Capitol while the president's over there talking to his supporters. And it wasn't supposed to be a show of force. They were just kind of showing how much they wanted their president. They're duly elected president. I'm not trying to get political here. I want to try to explain some of what happened on Wednesday. When they came down to the Capitol, well, before I go any further, there's never been an incident where Trump supporters didn't assemble peaceably. They never had one single incident with police. Not one. Not one. They've never been they've never been physical. They've always complied. They've always obeyed. It was just a peaceful, you could call it a protest because they didn't like what was going on. I didn't like what was going on either. But they've always been peaceful. Those four buses of Antifa dressed up like Trump supporters. Hello?
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Yeah.
The one with the big horns,
right?
The leader posed with pictures with Nancy Pelosi and her son-in-law. That more, you think Nancy Pelosi's going to have her picture made with a Trump supporter? I mean, how gullible are they?
That's right.
I know this is a Sunday school lesson, but it took all the platforms away. One of the things they said on King James Radio this week was, "Preachers just ain't speaking out against us." Well, I am.
Right. Amen.
She had pictures made
right.
with this leader of Antifa along with her son-in-law. As planned, they mingled with the Trump supporters that came to the Capitol. As planned, they stormed the Capitol. Some of the Trump supporters mingling there with them. I guess in the confusion of the moment. I don't know. I can't explain it all. But I will tell you this, the Capitol Guards pulled the bears back, opened the doors, and let them right on in.
Right. Yeah.
It was at its best, it was a political stage stunt at its best.
That's what it was.
They planned it.
I mean, they done what they
did. Eyewitness accounts, and I heard this from an eyewitness that was there. Eyewitness accounts, the young girl, the veteran that was shot, was pushed by Antifa into the Capitol Police, and he thought he was being charged, and he shot this young girl and killed her.
Right.
But one that blew the fire extinguisher, I can't prove this, but most likely was probably Antifa, and these two were sacrificed. They were just what they call collateral damage.
That's right.
The other three people that died, they died from a heart attack.
Yeah.
They got overwhelmed in the moment.
Right.
What was the goal, Brother Eddie? You want to know what the goal was? Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, you won't believe it, but I'll tell you what the goal was. To make our president unelectable.
Oh, yeah.
Because if he's ever elected again, and he will be, unless they make him unelectable. Understand this. If they can impeach him, if they can put charges against him. And right now they're blaming him for all. He never had a thing doing none of this.
Nah.
Told you this is staged. I know I'm sounding political here, but somebody's got to say what I'm saying.
Amen. Right.
Right. Amen.
They want him to be unelectable. Why, Brother E? The day President Trump was inaugurated, sworn in as president, he turned to the cameras and here's what he said. I'm going to give America back to its people, and Washington woke up.
Right.
in the swamp, I want you to know, buddy, the alligators came out. And what did he say? I mean, they got concerned about losing the hold. Me and Jason talked about this a little bit before y'all got here. The hold they have upon this rich country. Now pay attention to what's going on. Don't swallow the hook, line, and sinker. At least sort it out. Check it out. I'll try to keep you informed, but listen to this. God's still on the throne.
Amen.
Right.
If there was a mess made, God will clean it up.
That's right.
We've got to strive to do right.
Right.
Matter of fact, we need to strive to be peaceful with all men. The Bible says, if it be possible, I'm glad God put it in those terms. If it be possible, live peaceably with all men.
That's right.
Because God's going to bring judgment. He brought judgment upon Jezebel. She might have thought she was above the law of this church. She might have thought that she had leverage. But I want you to know, God that does all things well, He said, I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am He. You know, the world don't want to retain God in their knowledge.
No.
They want to ride Him out. Mm-hmm. Let me explain a little bit of our problem. You see, the church has been silent. Now they're teaching evolution in our schools. Mm-hmm. They're not teaching creation. They don't have the Ten Commandments on the wall like they did when I was in school. So without, the Bible said, no fear of God for their eyes in Romans chapter 3. So without any exposure to the Creator, or to the law of the Creator, mm-hmm. Now you got a generation coming up, and to them, a baby is an insect. To them, you're just a dog. They don't think twice about killing you.
That's right.
I would think twice about killing Brother Jerry, even before I got saved. Because my mama instilled in my heart, I remember we used to pray before I'd go to that 10-year-old boy. And we pray, you know, little child, for an hour, lay me down to sleep. Pray, Lord, my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray, Lord, my soul to keep. Even though that was a childlike prayer, mm-hmm. I want you to know God. I believe that's the reason I'm alive today.
Amen.
I really do. I believe the reason I'm alive today is because of mother's prayer.
That
she had a little 10-year-old boy.
Amen.
Yeah. Fig-headed boy. But you know what? I have reservations. They don't. They don't have any reservations at all. They will shoot you. They will stab you. They'll behead you. They'll beat you. They'll rob you. They'll burn your house down with you anyway. Why? No fear of God.
That's right.
God here, in an affirmative way, let me see my time here, in an affirmative way, He said, I'll kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am He which searcheth the reins and the hearts and will give unto every one of you according to your works. If God didn't do something, then He would be to blame. When Abraham said, shall not the God of all the earth do right? You better believe He'll do right. And He was right when He rained down fire and brimstone upon Sodom and Gomorrah. He was right to drag Lot out kicking and screaming by the hand, just like He's going to have to drag the church out. We've got so worldly like Lot. We like it down here so much. But praise God, if He does drag us out by the hand, at least we get out. Amen.
Right. Amen.
Verse 24. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, and as many as have not this doctrine. Now boy, that's a bad word, ain't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we don't like doctrine in our church. You better.
Huh? That's right.
Woo!
Amen.
Here's why. As many as have not this doctrine, Brother Mitchell, and which have not known the deaths of Satan, as they speak, I'll put upon you none other burden. You know what?
Amen.
Those deaths of Satan. A verse just come to my mind. I ain't got much for mine, but I'm glad it does still work. But there's a verse come to my mind that Jesus spoke. You know, there's some people today that don't even believe that Paul was an apostle, that God didn't use him, and that he's a myth. I mean, it's crazy Some of the stuff being, they call me a conspirator, some of the stuff being conspired today. But listen to what Jesus tells Paul in Acts chapter number 26. Saul, he's rehearsing about when he ran into Jesus, and he said, when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue. That's really important, that Hebrew tongue. Because a lot of men there didn't hear what was said, because it was said to Paul, at that time he was Saul. And he said, I heard in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Verse 16, but rise and stand up on thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. Here's his purpose. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. Listen to this verse. To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now the Lord here, as He's rebuking this church, He said, there are many that have not known the depths of Satan. The Bible tells us not to give no place to the devil, and I'm sad to report to you that many have gave the whole place to the devil. Everything in the church, it needs to be prayed over.
That's right.
It needs to be done decently. It needs to be done right. It needs to be done to the praise and honor and glory to the One that died for us, is coming for us. I want you to know He's coming back. And when He comes back, I mean, we just play hide and seek. Ready or not, here I come. He's coming, amen.
Amen.
My wife's got what she watches these cooking shows, Carolyn. And he says, they start counting down. 10, and they're going through it everywhere. And he says, when he says, 1 done, they all stand back like it's right here. You know, whatever is there, that's what they serve up. Well, that's kind of where we are. We've just got a little time.
Right.
And you're right, Brother Mitchell. We need to get right.
Right.
We need to live righteous, godly, soulfully.
Like we
need to redeem the time. Days are evil. We need to make sure what we're doing is right. And you know, Brother Jerry, he'd be laying and singing here in a minute. He's going to be singing right. I'm going to be shouting right. We're hoping to worship God right today. Those that worship the Lord must worship Him in spirit and in truth. It ain't that way in every church.
That's right. No.
That's right.
I told you, I went to church one time, I was the one there that didn't have a Bible. They looked at me when I came in the door, and I could hear the whispers, Danny. It looked like I had an AK-47. I mean, even the preacher didn't have a Bible. He just got up there and gave me a tear-filled testimony. The testimony was good. Wasn't it, brother? The testimony, but no reading, no preaching whatsoever. Maybe the service was a testimony. I don't know. I know one thing. I believe I've read just a little bit of Bible. You know what I mean?
Amen.
Hey. Well, this church here was out of order. They wasn't doing nothing about it. It was just business as usual. God's rebuking them. God's warning them. And He's talking about not knowing the depths of Satan. I don't want to give the devil any place in my life. I don't want to give him any place in the church of the living God. I want him to know he's not welcome here. And if he comes here, he's going to hear some amen Bible preaching, amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen.
I done found out, buddy, God's word prospers and the thing it's sent to do, it don't return void. My pastor was preaching one time, he was preaching like a wild man, preaching like a Comanche Indian, and there's a guy in the back, got up, got the cuss and went out the door, and I thought, amen to the word of God. Listen, that guy went out. I'll tell you what, he didn't go out empty.
Amen.
That's Right.
Y'all may not get that, but I got it a long time ago.
Right.
I went to bed with him, Jerry. Every night he went to bed, he woke up that same, he knew he needed to do something with that Jesus.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's his call for Christ. You might run out.
Right.
But you can't stay out.
That's right.
I don't know how long, Mitchell, but I guarantee you that man found his way back to the house of God and got saved. I know that for a fact.
Amen.
Because I've seen it time and time again. Men may not react in the right way. They may not receive the Lord right then. But I want you to know, buddy, that salt of the Word of God, that light of the Word of God, boy, once it comes in contact with you, I'll tell you right now, buddy, it accomplished the purpose it's sent to do. Amen. Hey, we're begotten by the Word. Amen, by the way. All right. The Lord here, kind of rebuking this church. And he says, I say unto you and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I'll put upon you none other burden but that which you have already. Now we got enough burdens. I retired this week. I got to get me one in church that says retired, not rich. You know what I mean?
Amen.
I mean, I'm reading my Bible through this year, and one thing I've noticed is I'm reading my Bible through this year, but Abraham left out with nothing.
That's right.
But faith.
That's right.
You're right.
God promised him this, Carolyn. He said, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to provide for you. And I'm going to promise you. Abraham believed God.
That's right.
Then his son Isaac come. Read it. God told Isaac, fear not. I'm with you, buddy.
That's right.
He said, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to provide for you. And he gave him some promises. You know what both of them men did? When the family came, both of them went down to Egypt. Both of them lied about their wives. Both of them said their wives was their sisters. And you know what? That's in there for a reason. It's not easy to live for God. But it's worth it. When you read about three little Hebrew boys, when they put on the spot, they said, hey, King, we're not careful, ain't you, buddy? That's coming to your door, Rita. Coming to mine.
Coming to all of us.
God help us be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Right.
To be able to say, we're not careful, ain't you? Who is he that'll harm me if he be followers of him? And they throw them into the fire, and the first mention of the Son of Man was made by an atheist king, Nebuchadnezzar. He said, did we not throw three? It killed a man through a man. Did we not throw three in the fire? And he said, yes, king. He said, I see four walking about, and they feel no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like unto the Son of Man. I mean, here he is biting his tongue and admitting who's in the fire with these three faithful little Hebrew boys.
Amen.
Now, I see the time back there. Now, I want to make sure she gets this in. Sybil just walked in. I want to make sure she gets hearing this. You know, Wednesday was a sad day. I didn't like it.
I didn't
like the fact that an innocent woman was shot. I didn't like the fact that an innocent guard was hit in the head with a fire extinguisher and he ended up dying. I didn't like the fact that three people died of a heart attack. I didn't like that. But I will tell you this. These that me and Brother Jason was talking about, your servant authority, I am going to like it when they bow that knee down. Can you see Nancy Pelosi bow down before Jesus and confessing that he's Lord? To the glory of God.
No.
Can you imagine Chuck Schumer, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris?
Mm-hmm.
I'm unenjoying that. They probably throw us off air on that, didn't they, Jason? Hey, I'm enjoying the mayhem that took place Wednesday, but I am going to enjoy it when Jesus is sitting on the ball and tomorrow. I know this ain't Christian time, but I ain't never got wind in my sail. I'm going to enjoy these that are going to bow their knee and confess by their tongue that Jesus is Lord. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Man, that'll encourage you. Woo! No matter what's going on. The Lord here, He said, I won't put no other burden upon it except that which you have already. Hold fast till I come. You better believe I'm holding on. Amen. I'm glad I got something to hold on to, Brother Mitchell. Hey, everybody got something to hold on to. Hey! The Lord said, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You'll find rest unto your souls. My yoke's easy, my burden's light. The Lord helps us with our burdens. And He says, I won't put no other burden on you, but that which you have already, hold fast till I come. I will try to finish this out. This chapter out, I don't know. He says, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. You know who's got the rod of iron now? Now listen, Jesus is coming with a rod of iron. But he's going to put a rod of iron in your hand.
That's right.
That's right.
Can you speak to him with a rod of iron? She said, don't make me come down there and bust that head. Speaking of busting head, y'all see that big pot knot right there? I fell. I think it was Friday. I know the granddaughter was here because it's been a witness. She hadn't been here. But I fell on my hammer picking up flint. And I had a bucket of flint in this hand over my shoulder. I can't even hardly lift my hand up. Just a lot of flinches. But Sybil, I fell. I face planted the hammer. I mean, I go over in the ground. It hit right there. I had a tow bar and I folded it over double. I took it off that big old pop knot on there. The first thing that came to my mind really was, Lord, why'd you allow that? Then I got the thinking right. I got the thinking like the Word of God says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Brother Mitchell, it could have been the other way around. That other end was sharp. That other end got a big blade on it. If I'd have fell on that, it'd have been stuck in my head, or I'd have been in the hospital or been dead. I'm sitting there thinking, Lord, thank you for getting my attention. Speak, thy servant heareth. I'm ready to listen now. Sometimes you gotta get my attention. But I'll tell you right now, I was made aware of the fact. I may not look like a 67-year-old man, but next month I will. I'll be 67 February 20th. And I gotta start acting like a 67-year-old man. I think the Lord's trying to say, boy, I got something better in mind for you.
Right.
I'm still trying to put all this together. I ain't really got the conclusion probably right. But anyway, that pop knot on my head and that shoulder here, about how it dislocated, the Lord said, hold fast till I come. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken in the shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. And I wish Star was here this morning. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. You know, I don't know about y'all, but I am so looking forward to having that rod of iron. I've been trying to get people's attention for 32 years. I'm finally going to be able to do it. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, it's not right there. I want to try to be civil as I can. Lord, we thank you, Father, for the privilege to teach your words. Pray your blessings always upon the work of God. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I just knew we'd get off the air today for sure. But Jason said we was able to stay on the air. Amen.
I'm a little slicker than Daddy is. I can't.